I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Oversharers podcast. My name is Harbour.
And I'm Kulsun.
And this is a brand new episode and we've got someone really special. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, hi guys, I'm Yasin and I'm very excited to be here today. Thank you guys for having me.
Tell us a bit about Homegirls. What kind of services do you offer for the girlies, especially those that are listening that can relate?
Yes, so Homegirls is a support group on and offline for eldest daughters and daughters from immigrant families. So a quick definition for eldest daughters, because sometimes you might not be the first. So eldest daughter we define is as the firstborn daughter within the household. Sometimes another daughter can take up the role if the eldest daughter decides to strike and reject the role. If you're the only daughter in the household, if all the girls in the household have been parentified, or if the eldest daughter has moved out, like maybe gotten married, etc. So it's not a one size fits all. So different households can look differently. So we are a support group, like I mentioned. We do different services. So we do a weekly rant session, which is every Friday, where you can just book and come and talk to one of us. It's really fun. 30 minutes, you chat to one of the team. We also have a weekly podcast where eldest daughters share their stories.
Oh, nice.
You can send in your confessions if you want to get things off your chest. We also do monthly events, in-person events, and monthly peer support groups online for people that not even just in the UK, outside the UK can join as well.
I love that. That's
so good. Those are some of our services, and we're constantly working to create therapy funds. Therapy is expensive.
Oh my God, this is so sad. Do you know, this really makes me sad that eldest daughters actually need all of this.
Yeah, it's sad, but I think also it's really nice to have someone else to not feel alone, to feel validated. So trying to find eldest daughter, the right therapists that are also eldest daughters that you don't really have to explain yourself. So yeah, those are... things we do, and about 90% of our services are free because we get funded by organizations. So yeah, feel free to.
And where can they reach you on the socials?
So yeah, we're everywhere. Homegirls Unite.
Homegirls Unite.
Thank you.
Can I just say, Yasin, that Homegirls Unite is probably the only organization that I've ever seen being catered towards eldest daughters. And the thing is, a lot of eldest daughters, this is why I think it's so important, because a lot of eldest daughters wouldn't have seen what they're going through as a major issue unless it was put on the spotlight. So it's great that like they can actually look at this and say, well, this, the way I'm being treated is actually morally reprehensible. There's an organization that's telling me this is wrong, so it must be nice to illuminate these issues and let girls know that this isn't the right way to live.
It's not. And it's okay to say no, girls.
That's, I love that.
If you take one thing away.
Oh my God, it's going to be fun.
I am excited, actually.
Right, I want to carry on the conversation with elder sons and younger sons. Who should the girlies pick? I'm just saying.
Personally, from my experience, the girlies should choose the elder sons. However, that's not to say there are not irresponsible elder sons. Yeah. You can find whatever Allah has written for you will be for you. Course. So, but you can look at like your traits, what you all have and what you can bring to the table, strengths, weaknesses. Because we were just talking how some eldest daughters can be uptight.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we try to avoid younger sons. But sometimes they might bring that fun side of us, which can heal our inner child as well.
So, that's so true.
It just depends on the person themselves, I think.
I'm not going to lie. Now that you said uptight, I feel like I'm very uptight. And I think that's based on just... And I think it goes with the genre of being an eldest. I'm an only child. So technically, I'm the only daughter.
Yeah.
But I think the reason why I'm uptight is just because of the standards that I've, like, seen and around, and I had to set myself that standard from like the couples that are around me.
Yes.
And like the type of men that I've seen. Not I'm saying all the men I've seen are bad, but I think that's the reason why I'm uptight. Do you think everyone else would agree? I'm not saying you guys are uptight, but I'm just saying.
I think I am a bit uptight. I can't relax to save my life. I feel like I'm unlearning that, because it can hurt your other relationships, not just even in intimate relationships with friends, yeah, like siblings. Mm. When my siblings are having fun, like when I enter the room, all of a sudden, they're like, oh, here she comes, like the fun police. But so I'm trying to unlearn that. But I think it's kind of growing up, we weren't given the chance to relax as much as our younger siblings or other members of the family. So I think that definitely contributes to the reason why a lot of us are uptight. But it can be unlearned, and slowly but surely can get there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yasina, you're an eldest daughter.
Yes.
How's it been?
I can't lie. These last few weeks, I've cried a lot.
No.
I feel like I don't know. Sometimes you just need a good cry.
I think
running Home Girls, I feel like I'm always telling people, oh, you've got this, like, do you, etc. And then I go home, I'm like, I don't got this, like me, myself. And it's not all the time, but maybe once in a while, you just need a good breakdown, let it all out, and then get back to it like we do.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have to be quite disciplined?
Yeah, definitely. I think we, as eldest daughters, personally, growing up, you've always been told, like, this needs to be this. Like, your siblings are looking up to you, the community, extended family.
Oh, I'm just triggering already. Honestly, this is just like
trigger central.
I've got PTSD.
Honestly, and I think
the community, that one there, that one got me. I'm so sorry.
Are those your biggest, shall I say, haters?
No, it's not that they're haters. It's
growing up, yes. When we used to go out and we were little, they used to watch us from the windows.
Oh, and my God. Us, and then, like, and snitch, then tell on our and, like, snitch on us and, like, call our parents. But it's not so much. It's like the expectation that you have to be weary of the community and stuff. It's just a load of shit, I think.
It is a load of shit.
And, like, the comparison to other people's kids.
Mm. Yeah.
That was, like, a major one. I think all mums use that as a way to instigate you to, like, get better and do whatever.
But so it was stop such looking a at deterrent for me. I was raise like, what do you mean? Stop neglecting me. That other person's not doing better than me.
Exactly.
No, for me, it was like, I know what your kid is doing behind closed doors. So please do not use that as an example. Thank you very much.
I can tell everyone what your child is doing.
And it's annoying because you can't say nothing.
No.
You just have to sit in being criticized.
It's really frustrating. And I think it's got to that point. Thank God I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, I actually don't care.
Yeah.
Like, because you do what they want, they'll talk. You don't do what they want, they'll talk. So you might as well just enjoy yourself and do it for yourself. And especially parents, like, mind your business. Like, your child has literally, especially now that, thank God, I don't live at home.
Mm.
I don't need my parents financially. I'm speaking from a place of privilege, but people that still live at home don't have that comfortableness to just tell their parents to, like, mind their business.
Yeah.
We're not even in a culturally a position to say that, but I think just nod your head, bye, and then do what you want and move on.
Sometimes just to shut your mouth and nod, even if you know, like, what they're saying is wrong.
I mean, even Dinian wise, like, you can't really be mean. I don't think it's nice to be mean to your parents.
No.
Obviously, you can't be mean. When I was younger, so between the ages of like 15 to 18, I did, like, I wouldn't say talk back, but I used to argue a lot with my mum, and that used to really get to me. Mm. I mean, now we've got an amazing relationship. I mean, we still bicker, but, you know, that's normal.
Yeah.
But, like, the arguments were really intense at that age. And I remember one of my uncles, came to visit us one day, and he was like, you shouldn't even be arguing. Like, you can't tell her how you feel. Just say yes. And I used to just think, but no, like, I want to tell you how I feel.
Yeah.
But I think that was more like the teenage rebelliousness in me.
Mm.
So the question I want to ask you was, how was growing up as an eldest daughter with siblings, and, like, what's the difference now that you've moved out?
Yeah.
Do you feel relief?
I do. My eldest daughter journey was quite different because I was born and raised in Gambia for the first 11 years of my life, and I was the only child. Like, it was just me and my mom enjoying living my life. Didn't know what responsibilities were till I moved to the UK. And then all of a sudden I had a 2-year-old brother and I can't go out after school because I have to get home and look after him.
Yeah.
I lived in a very white area.
Oh,
only black people on the street. Yorkshire, that's where I grew up. Mm. So you can imagine.
Where's the accent gone?
Oh, thank God it's gone.
Because really? I love a Yorkshire accent.
Oh, my Yorkshire God, my Yorkshire accent was so thick. When I moved to uni, people used to say something.
No.
Like, leave me alone. But growing up back in Yorkshire during my teens, growing up as an eldest daughter, you think the experience is unique to you. Because I thought it was just my household that was like this until like we started Homegirls. So it was missing out on friendships because you can't go out. Like, you're an immigrant child as well. Yeah. That's another layer that your parents are like, going out for what? Stay at home, you're looking after your siblings. Mm. You can't do extracurricular activities at school. So many things happening, having to learn to cook. Yeah. All of those things I hate.
We all lived the same lives.
Yeah, we did.
Having to learn to cook early. So my opportunity was uni. I was like, I'm going like as far away from here as possible.
Yeah.
Thank God, alhamdulillah, I was able to get into uni in London. And I never went back.
No, we didn't go back to Yorkshire.
So your family still lives in Yorkshire?
Yeah, they're still there.
Wow, she said, I'm no longer an oldest daughter.
I was like, I'm not going back. And I was like, I used to pray, as long as I can pay my rent, I'm not leaving. That was like my thing because I couldn't go back there.
How was that independence like though? Sorry,
it was, I loved it. One thing I couldn't do at home was sleep in peace because it was like, why are you being lazy? Like, you need to wake up. Like
Saturday morning.
Yeah, clean the house. Like, I was like, just let me sleep. I do well in school. I'm not on drugs. Like, just let me sleep.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to uni, I used to sleep. My housemates used to think there was something wrong with me. Aww. I'm like, no, like, I'm fine. I just like sleeping.
You needed rest.
Exactly. Resting was, it's like a huge problem in a lot of immigrant homes. A sign of laziness. And I feel like sometimes our parents, if they don't suffer and struggle through things, they don't think you deserve to rest. Mm-hmm. Or I'm like, no, I need my sleep. So leaving the household, I think it's eliminated a lot of my eldest daughter struggles, but not completely, of course. I still have more of like the financial burden rather than like the emotional being there, listening to their problems and babysitting, cooking, cleaning. But that doesn't stop them calling me like, your brother's done this, your sister's done this, or we need money for this.
Yeah.
But I feel like where I am right now, it's manageable because I can set those boundaries. The distance has really helped that.
Did they ever try and get you to come back?
My dad. I was like, no, I'm not coming back. And I think he kind of pretty much gave up after a couple of years. And then I went on to do my master's. And then when we started Homegirls is something that we run stuff, events, etc. That's not gonna run in Yorkshire, like, with a bunch of like people that don't really need it. So it worked out well for me.
There's a good point that you made. You were like, I think the point you made was how our parents enjoy the struggle. I don't think you said enjoy. I think our parents, something to do with them struggling and feeling like, in order for you to achieve something, you need to struggle as well. I personally feel like that comes from the struggle that they obviously came from. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, personally, my mum, she obviously migrated from Somalia.
Yeah.
Did the whole bid. She's come to London now. She wants her only child to be educated.
Yeah.
So I felt like a lot of the pressure that I received from my mum was because she wanted me to succeed with the opportunities that she didn't have.
Yeah.
And a lot of the discussions that we have now is trying to understand, like, what would be a nicer way to convey those aspirations that she had for me instead of being like, no, you've got to do this and this.
Yeah.
So do a lot of the girls that come to your community, do they experience, do they talk about that? How do they feel about
absolutely that? One of the services we have is rant sessions, where you can call in on Fridays
and just rant
about your life. And it's a free service. Like, literally what you just said is the same thing a lot of immigrant parents kind of want to instill in their kids. However, there's an issue because when our parents immigrated, they carried all of the things that they're used to in their country of origin, and like copy and paste.
Yeah.
So there's this term, I think it's called the immigrant time warp, where our parents, whatever they copy and pasted from their country of origin has moved on from that. They're not even living that kind of life anymore. But they're so like ingrained in that, and they want to like hold on to the culture so badly.
Like clinging on to
they're not even going up with the time. They're like stuck in that time, so they keep pushing that onto their children. Whereas everyone's moved on, like where you live, everyone's moved on. Where you came from, everyone's moved on, and it's just you stuck in this time. And it's like they don't want to learn new ways, or they can't learn new ways to do things because it's so ingrained in them. And unfortunately, sometimes there's no way of changing that if your parent is so happy with what they think they're doing. Like in their head, they're doing amazing. Like my child is finished uni, they're going to do this, this and this. But I think having conversations is very much something we underestimate with our parents, like sitting them down and not making it like a blame thing. Yeah. Like not you did this, you did this. Like mom, you know, when you said this, like if say in this way, it might be nicer, or it might help me understand it more. Yeah. Like make it out like you need them, like they like to be needed. So doing it in like baby steps, talking to them like you would talk to a younger person, and just getting your point across without them feeling attacked, or that you're maybe trying to,
that you're being ungrateful.
That is really like a good way to go about it. And I think also speaking to other members of the family that they listen to get your message across to them. There are people, like I can tell my dad something, he won't listen, and I'll involve an uncle and all of a sudden he knows how to listen. So those are like other ways to get through it. But I think as immigrant children, understanding that is really important, that our parents, their intention may not be coming across as well as they want it to. It's not like, oh, they're just trying to put us under unnecessary pressure. It's out of love in most cases. There's no malice intended in most of the cases.
I agree. Someone did a TikTok with her, and I think it was like a mum on holiday, and she was like, your mum's like living the same life as you only once. And it's just so sad because you think about the experience. So I think it's kind of understanding. I think when you're younger, you're a lot more angry and a lot more frustrated, and you're arguing like, why don't you understand me?
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you something. You've got the struggle of like being this first generation immigrant kid. And I also feel like with time, parents also get used to the culture. Remember my mum back in the day, I would say she was very strict, but then over time she's just like relaxed, and she's really chilled out.
Yassine, do you feel like, you know, we were talking about how parents can be quite difficult when it comes to the way that they like deliver a message, it doesn't always come across as being compassionate or whatever. Do you think that might have something to do with the fact that obviously going back to them being immigrant parents, it was alien to them. Do you think that the reason that they're so, I don't want to call it ruthless, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The reason that they're that way with us is because of more the fact that they had to put their dreams on hold. So there's a frustration there. And also that frustration may manifest in like a pressure on the child to essentially fulfill those dreams, kind of like in a secondary way.
I agree to some extent.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of our parents may want to live through us. So like, hence some of them pressuring us. But I think also, I feel like we get this disclaimer a lot, and I feel a bit uncomfortable even saying it, but some parents are just mean. Like, they're just maybe not nice people. And because if you think about it, a lot of, like, forget that they are parents, like just seeing them as humans, they can communicate with other people.
Yeah.
Like they communicate with people at work, they communicate with their friends, other members of the family very kindly. Why is it that when it comes to that one child, you can't find compassion or kindness towards them?
Yeah.
So I think I get a lot of elders' daughters even saying like they feel like their parents are jealous of them.
No.
Yeah. It's,
I can understand that though.
It's really,
'cause they're living, I feel like a lot of if you use an example of like a mum that's like come from war-torn country, she had a young child, and then like you're the same age as her and like you're kind of living your best life. Then also I feel like parents sometimes just want you to just be around them as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel
and
like
be in their space.
They're very, I think a lot of fallout comes when like their child is no longer dependent on them. Because they can't control you anymore.
Yeah.
When you no longer need their financial
assistance.
Exactly. Or you don't live under their roof. Or some people, even when they start out earning their parents, there can be like this thrift and tension between parents and children, which is really unfortunate because I think for parents that genuinely care and love their children, that should make you happy that your child is doing so well and thriving in their what you wanted to do, them to do all along.
Yeah. I think that moves us swiftly onto one of the main questions that we wanted to ask you is I feel like a lot of eldest daughters struggle with finances.
Yes.
Based on the fact that their money is not their money. Like you've got to use the money for the whole pot, for the whole family. So do a lot of the girls experience that and what advice do you normally give them?
Yeah. Financial problems and financial abuse is actually very huge with eldest daughters. A lot, there's been girls who's had loans taken out under their names who whenever they get paid, money goes straight to their family or parents, especially the ones that live in our home. They're being forced to pay for maybe private school. I've had someone whose family has made them pay for a sibling's private school.
That's wild.
Honestly, it's
Do
crazy.
Do you know how much private school fees are?
And in that case, I think the mum felt guilty because all the other children had gone to private school.
Yeah.
And by the time the last one had to go, the parent was no longer able to afford private school. So they made the oldest take out loans, etc. But it was very draining, like they were in debt.
It's not good, but I can see
the like, logic.
Yeah, I can see the logic behind it. And yeah. I can also see why that's happened. Because when you say private school,
you're just like, thinking, you're just, yeah.
What is going on here?
It's huge. And I think with eldest daughters, the reason why a lot of us have financial burden, some of us come from single parent households, our moms are working like long hours and we may feel like it's necessary to support them.
Yeah.
So we're probably taking jobs even when we're like still in school or at uni, etc. Student finance, a lot of us support our families with student finance money, which is not great. So we grow up with financial insecurity. So spending money is an issue. You feel guilty, you buy a Bauba juice and now you're like, oh, that's £5 gone. I can't bubble tea. Shall I be buying bubble tea?
Can't get yourself the ASOS outfit because you feel anxious.
Exactly. So money and anxiety is like a huge thing for a lot of us. But I think financial therapy is actually like a really good way to go about it, like speaking to a therapist about what you do with your finances and remembering that you actually work really hard and you deserve to spend the money on yourself as much as you give to everyone else. And deciding, like setting financial boundaries, is something that a lot of us don't do enough.
No, I completely agree.
I think I would be really scared to be like no to my parents if they ask. Because I feel like when I was younger, I used to contribute a lot. I don't know, it didn't affect me as much because I felt like it was just me and my mum anyway. So it was like teamwork for us.
Yeah.
But I could understand the pressure if you've got seven siblings and then the little paycheck that you get from like a call centre job is getting used and your peers are probably just enjoying their money.
Yeah.
I can see the anxiety behind that.
And also, it's like sometimes it gets to a point where it's, you get asked for money and it's almost like second, you just give it.
Yeah.
Like you don't even feel no ways about it because you've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
So I don't know, how do you even approach, like, how do you even approach saying no? It just doesn't even feel natural.
It doesn't feel natural. And I think there are ways to...
I like sending money back home.
Oh, don't even get me started.
That's the one
that used to trigger me a lot. I'm like, I don't even know you.
I'm paying for this.
Don't even check on me.
I don't have to pay for a family back home.
Literally, like, I just want to get myself a coffee.
Or when they ask you for an iPhone 15.
Oh, don't.
And you're like, I have a 12.
I don't even know what 15 is.
But I think it's starting off, what I say to people is, instead of saying no, which a lot of us find hard, choose another amount. Let's say someone comes to you with £100. Be like, I don't have £100, but I can help you with £50.
Yeah,
and then that can be your way of compromising.
Yeah.
And creating a boundary.
Yeah, creating a boundary. And then if you're someone that has to give money in the household every month, when you get paid, bring your money out so everyone can know, this is my contribution for the month, and I can't give you guys anymore till I get paid again. So everyone is aware you've contributed. Everyone knows not to come to you
because
you've announced it. And like, and that goes for other things. If you're forced to cook every day, if you're forced to clean, you can be like, guys, this week I'll cook on Wednesday and Friday because I'm busy for the rest of the week. If they don't eat, that's their problem. You've already given your time and
like
your
ample notification. Exactly.
So those are ways you can go about it. If you can't afford it, be like, listen, I can't afford it this month, maybe next month. And then just remind them, when I had it last time, I did give it to you. Mm-mm. So please bear with me.
Yeah.
So those are like compromises that you can do. Unless you absolutely don't have it, what are you going to do?
Yeah. And then another thing, I think this one's hot topic, especially for us being Somalis, girls being treated differently than boys. And how do you like advise? So let's say if I was like an 18-year-old girl, I'm being basically used to cook, clean, do everything, but my brother who's like 16 is allowed to just live his best life.
Yeah.
What sort of advice would you give to someone like that?
I think I would say, I always go back to speaking to your parents, because it's, you don't want people to turn around down the line and be like, well, you should have said something, or you should have spoken up. Speak to your parents, speak to the family members. One of the girls on our board, Ilhan, she basically used to do everything, cook, clean, the whole shebang. And then she gave them a week's notice to change. And they didn't.
Her family.
She gave her family notice.
No, I love this.
And they didn't listen. So she packed her bags and went and lived with her auntie.
No.
And we were like so proud of her.
How old was she at that time?
I think she was in her mid-20s or early 20s. And she packed her bags. She left. And then a month later, she came back. She was like, are you guys ready? And then they were like, yeah.
That is
she did it.
She said, you know what? This is my period, my grace period.
Yeah.
And if I'll you don't abide by this,
I'm out.
And she did it. Like now, obviously, not everyone is in a position to do that. But I think really speaking to your family and also be comfortable with things not being right. Because my siblings used to get away with it because they know I'll wash the dishes because I'll be uncomfortable because I have a little bit of, oh my God, everything needs to be neat. Sit on your hands. Like, don't look at that. Walk past that dish. Look at it. Don't touch it. Make sure your area, your room is clean, tidy.
Yeah.
Make sure you have food for yourself. Make sure you have everything. If your parents don't want to speak to your brothers or other siblings to do things, start building the life for yourself outside of that circle, because at the end of the day, it's a life skill. We all need it.
Mm.
It shouldn't be you're a girl, you need to do this. You're a boy, you don't need to do this. If your parents are going to be doing gender biases in the household, then you need to start being strategic and building the life you want for yourself. Otherwise, you're going to be frustrated. My brother, the only chore he has in that house is to take out the bin.
Mm-hmm.
And even if he does it, it's like, it's a fight. Oh my God, do the bin, do the bin, do the bin. And my sister, she's 17. When I left, she kind of took on the role.
She
went on a strike. She was like, I'm not doing it.
You know what I was going to say? Eldest daughters actually have a lot of power, you know?
Yeah.
Really and truly,
if
all the responsibility is on them and everyone's looking to them, they can one day just be like, I'm on strike.
I'm done.
I'm not doing this.
Or for a week, I'd be like, I'm not doing nothing. Watch the whole place collapse. They're going to be begging her to come back. Don't worry, we won't take your money no more. Please,
I agree.
We'll start supporting.
We need to be striking more. You have more power than you realize. Like, you, if you think about it, they need you more than you need them.
Exactly.
You literally have all the life skills.
And it's their biggest leverage.
Right? So use it, guys.
No, I love this. I'm here for homegirls
because
striking.
We should have like a national elders daughter strike.
A national holiday, eldest daughters strike.
Exactly. Not lift a finger.
Oh, can you imagine? The whole place would crumble.
They will.
And then the mum would be like, please.
Okay. So we're going to do a quick scenario. Okay. So we've got this scenario and I feel like it relates well. So it goes, being 26 and living with my family. She goes, I love your podcast. I always listen to you guys. So thank you. Thank you, girl. She goes, FYI, I'm Somali. She goes, I'm 26-year-old female and I live at home with my mother, grandmother and younger brother. I have one older sister who's married and moved to another city and one other younger brother who's moved abroad for work. So we rarely see him. She goes, being the eldest daughter at home, I do mostly everything and buy everything. I mean, cleaning, shopping, calling the housing, ordering repairs, booking appointments, sorting out mail, replying to them, sorting out the car tax, insurance, sorting out any charges or problems, driving people around, and the list goes on. I feel so bad because I feel like that is a lot. Mm-hmm. She goes, but imagine... You understand what I mean? We do. She goes, it's got to the point where I had so much on my mind and so much to do on that list that I literally had anxiety and couldn't stop thinking about it.
She's doing that and she's working or going to uni or whatever. Like, it's insane.
Literally. And then holding her own social life because she has to be sane.
She has to be seen.
And have relationships.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly, it's too much.
And then she goes, especially when I have to make calls to sort things out and talk to local authorities. She goes, I thought I was depressed for a few times because I was always in my thoughts and had no one to talk to. And on top of that, I had the pressure of taking care of everything at home. This might seem like something simple, but it's not. We've had so many problems with our house, so I had to call the council nearly every day to chase them, and it's been going on for a year now. I also kept thinking about how we never had a father, and now I have so much on my shoulders because of that. My father has his own family now and takes care of them, but knowing that made my mental health even worse. I would spend many nights crying myself to sleep and waking up the next day pretending everything was okay, and not once has anyone asked me if I was okay.
Oh my God, this is so sad.
Honestly, it goes on, guys. She goes, the worst one is driving people around. There was a time where it was 1 a.m. and I had to work the next day. So I was in bed with my PJs on and my mum calls me to come downstairs to drive one of my aunties home.
I hate that one. Aunties.
You know what? Now what I do, I call an Uber. She goes, she only lives 10 minutes walk from our house, but my mum thought it would be rude for her to go alone. I ended up getting her an Uber. Oh, she's smart like me.
Nice.
She goes, I ended up getting her an Uber because there was no way I was going to get up and drive her. Every time there's a guest over, I always have to drive them and it's getting to me. I literally hate it. The real problem with living at home at this age is that I already have two women that want to lead the house, that being my grandmother and my mum. I'm now at the age where I just want to be the only woman who makes decisions for everything. But because it's not really my house, it's typically my mum's, I can't do the things that I want to. She goes, I never get to watch TV because my grandma is always watching the news. So I have to wait till she goes to sleep around 10 p.m. to watch anything. And even then, I can't stay up for long since I have work the next day. The only other option is to wake up early on the weekends before everyone. But even then, I'd rather catch up on my sleep. She goes, I know I could still watch something with my grandmother there, but sometimes I want to watch cute romantic movies, so it's only really that's only really grandma friendly, so she can't watch one day.
No.
She goes, and yes, I do have an iPad, but I just want the bigger screen. She finishes off with, she goes, I watch vlogs of girls my age who are married and have their own place with their partners. And I really want this, but it's getting so hard to find someone suitable. I don't want to rush and marry someone just to leave the house. But at the same time, I can't live at home any longer. She goes, I'm expected to clean, which I don't mind. But 2 minutes later, the house is messy again. If there's a week that goes by, I don't clean. My mum and grandma will tell me that I never clean. Sometimes I feel like they're unappreciative of the things that I do for them. And if there's a time where I don't do it, they say you never do anything for us. Sometimes when it's the time of the month and I feel lazy and I want to stay in my room, but once I go downstairs, they will mention how I've been in my room the whole day and I haven't done anything around the house. I just feel like at the stage where I should be living in my own place, trying out new recipes, buying new skincare, trying new hobbies, going out with my girls on the weekend, traveling, falling in love. There's so much I want to do, but I can't do it because I'm too busy taking care of the house. And even worse, I feel like I'm not appreciated by my family. She goes, am I the only one that feels this way?
No.
No.
No, sis, you're not.
You're not.
Do you know what? I just, one thing that I got from that scenario is that resting is a crime.
Right?
Oh. Wow.
It's like, why are you sitting down for? You got to be up, up and ready.
Oh, God.
That was a lot.
I know. And there's so much to unpack there.
That's literally what I read.
My head hurts.
Days. Sorry, girl. That's rough.
I think I would say for the driving bit, I was going to be like, tell them you lost your license or your license has been revoked or something. We need to start.
The car, road tax is gone.
We need to start.
Lying.
What's the word with the incompetence where men... Yeah, we need to weaponize incompetence.
Yeah. You know, men do that so well.
I see a lot of elders' daughters are actually not learning to do things on purpose.
Yeah.
I had a driving scenario of how this girl said she wanted to learn to drive, but she refuses because she's going to turn into the driver. Exactly. But I think the fact that you called an Uber is actually really smart. And I think moving forward, I hope you don't go out of your way to be dropping everyone on the street.
You know what she
houses.
Needs to say? She needs to say, I'm scared of driving at night.
Yeah.
She needs to say, guests can't be staying in my house till 1 a.m.
At that time.
And if they do, you got to walk 10 minutes, love. You chose to come here at 1 a.m. Exactly. But you can't really say.
But I think setting strong boundaries with your mom is really important. Like, being like, I don't want to be disturbed after this time.
Yeah.
If you're in bed, maybe put a note on your room. I'm asleep. Leave me alone. Nicer. In a
I'm
nicer
not
way.
I'm not going to lie, in a smart household.
You cannot do that.
They will not respect that. They'll just walk
come in badging. But I think having boundaries with your mom, like, yeah. I don't mind doing these things for you during the day, but at night, safety reasons. You can't just be driving like up and down at night as well.
She can also use the excuse that, oh, I'm working tomorrow morning.
Yeah, exactly. Lie your way out of things sometimes is really important.
At 7 a.m.
And I think if she can afford to, maybe buy herself a TV for her room.
Valid.
That can help watch your own shows when grandma's watching her news. I think that would be a way to, I think I would say people that live at home that can't escape, make your room into the nicest place ever. Like decorate it, make it cozy, make it your safe place where when all the chaos is going on in the household, you can have that area to just go and be with yourself with no stress. I think with the whole getting married to escape, I wouldn't advise it. It's like you're leaving one stressful situation to get into another potential stressful situation. So if you can wait, just continue making dua and like someone will...
I was going to say, I watched this girl on TikTok the other day that was talking about how she did tahajjud for like 2 weeks straight. She was like, I just kept doing tahajjud. And the one thing that she was asking for is to be able to move out. And she was able to do it.
Amazing.
So, I mean, you never know what can happen. I feel like nowadays, moving out as a girl to your own place is a little bit more accepted than back in the day. So I think you will be able to do it. I think it's a lot of convincing that you have to do with your mom and grandma and just saying the things that you can do to support them at the time. When you have your own space, you've got more free time to do things for them.
Mm.
So I feel like, I just feel like she needs to make lots of dua.
Yeah.
To try and get out of this.
I think before she moves out, she needs to practice boundaries.
She does.
My favourite topic. The reason I say that is second children, for example, not an eldest girl, but the next one, doesn't necessarily get burdened much, especially if they know they've got an eldest child that's doing everything, right?
Yeah.
And when you ask them to do something, they have like the freedom to either decline or say, I'm tired or do this or that, because they know that someone's going to take care of it.
Yeah.
So I just think she needs to go on strike. She needs to practice being on strike in her house.
Yeah.
Let everyone fall apart. knowing that they can't just like lean on her
to do everything.
Exactly.
And then not even be appreciative, telling her that she doesn't do anything around here. If you think I don't do anything around here, I'm not gonna do anything.
Let me show you.
We can all live here in Christ.
Let's live in filth for 2 weeks and see what happens.
I think that boundaries is, you can't carry everyone's burdens on your head, because you do everything for everyone. When it's time for things to be done, who comes? Who shows up for you?
No, she needs to be selfish.
Exactly. I think
she needs to be carefree and selfish.
I feel like being selfish is a compliment now to me. Like, oh, thank you. I've been waiting for that, because I don't think we're selfish enough.
Yeah.
And we're always told, put everyone else first, put yourself last. No, like, don't go off like and just live like carefree, like no one else exists. But it's important that to put yourself first, because literally some of us, like if we want to get married and have kids, we're going to leave a caretaker position to go into another caretaker position. Because it's one thing,
you don't have your own time to yourself.
Exactly.
And if you idolize marriage, thinking that it's going to be so great when you move out, and it's actually not, you're just going to be depressed even more.
You're like, what the hell is going on here? And I think that's why a lot of elders don't want children, because they don't want to be responsible for other humans, because they've raised their
siblings.
Like some kids call their sister's mom.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. So I feel like if you can move out without getting married, and to even have that space for yourself, even for a year or two,
go out,
enjoy yourself, get to know who you are outside of that role, is really needed.
Do you find that a lot of eldest daughters that have moved out have said that it's like the best decision?
Oh my God, they love it.
Aww.
They really love it. And we have a group chat, a WhatsApp group chat, and we have a moving out group chat where girls that want to move out come together and look for house, become like housemates.
And they can become housemates. Yeah, they can.
So they put like all their requirements, like budgets and stuff. And every other like couple of weeks, someone's like, oh, I'm moving out. And one girl invited me to their housewarming party last summer. And I'm like a proud mom. I'm like,
it's emotional, isn't it?
It's so nice, because I know like there's a lot of discourse online about the eldest daughter role. Like, people joke about it a lot, but a lot of people are going through it. Like, people are really depressed. People are like tired. Like, we've come to actually see it as like a covert form of gender-based violence. Like, that sounds dramatic, but it's literally,
some households it is.
It is for some girls. So if that's what you need to do to save yourself a bit, don't deprive yourselves of things you want, because you've had this hard childhood of raising yourself, raising your siblings, raising your parents, and now you're going to have to raise a man.
You know,
do that.
Sorry to interrupt you, but one thing that came into my head, and I feel like it's in this scenario, is how some parents can sometimes weaponize the dean against you, and then that like creates more guilt for you. So like, if you talk back to your mum, not talk back, but if you disagree with your parents,
if you're even
example,
slightly critical of what they say,
it's like, how can you say that? But how can you say that? Is Denby, like, Denby meaning it's a sin, like, you shouldn't be talking back to your mum, you should listen to everything I say, you need to and it's like, realistically, you're not being a healthy parent.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're not parenting in a way where it's like you're thinking about your child's well-being. It's more of what I need.
Mm.
And also, what also comes into it, it's like a sense of ownership against you. Because you're my child, I own you. And like, you need to do these things for me. And I know that sounds very
toxic.
It sounds very toxic. And it might not be like that for everyone.
Mm.
But some parents have that like ownership over you. Like, meaning like, I had you, and you have to do what I say, and everything I say. And I feel like a lot of eldest daughters struggle with that.
Of course. That's something I feel like I struggle with myself, especially more on my dad's. Like, my mom, alhamdulillah, she's like, do you, like, live your life. But the whole talking back, I'm like, I'm not talking back, I'm responding. Like, I'm responding
I'm
to what
you know how I feel.
Exactly.
It's a conversation.
And, right? Or they'll jump like, oh, you're being rude. Like, no, I'm not. I'm literally telling you what you asked me. And I think they're always like, oh, you know, Allah said be good to your parents. Like, did Allah say be bad to your kids? Like, yeah. It's always one-sided. Yeah. It's like you picking what you want for your kids to do that. And I'm thinking, no, you should want your kids to thrive outside of you. And I feel like to some extent, I always think, is it that you don't trust that you've done a good enough job as a parent to let me be free outside of your household? Is it that you don't think you think you could have done more for me? Mm. And now you're like scared of what I will be outside of this environment. And it's really sad because it's put a strain on relationships. Now,
yeah.
Now I'm not going to go to you with my news because...
Is it like an insecurity as well?
I think it's an insecurity thing. And I think it's also a possessive thing. Like, I did this for you. Okay, aunt, you're my mom, you're my dad. Like, isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Mm.
You should hope that you did it for me so I can do it for my child if I have children.
In like a selfless way.
In a selfless way rather than, oh, I did this. Like,
and I think it goes back to this girl because I feel like her saying that every time someone comes to the yard, I've got to drop them home. Like, why are you not thinking about me as your daughter and thinking...
In this unsafe situation.
Do you know what I mean? Like, in big old London...
At 1 a.m.
You're trying to tell me to go drive her home. What if that's your friend? Tell her to go... Do you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
That's so... I wouldn't say it's... It is selfish in a way. Like, she's not thinking about her daughter.
She's not.
She cares more about the friend and the courtesy of dropping this friend home so she doesn't think...
It's like the short-term validation
from
the friend.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, what do others think? What does the community think?
Yeah.
Like, she came to my house and no one dropped her home. But, like, you need to... It's your child, 1 a.m. Like, she's got work the next day.
Who's going to look out? Who's going to drive me back? I have to drive me back. What about what I want? Exactly.
Oh,
it's really tiring, man.
What would you say are, like, 5... short-term solutions that this girl, like, things that she can do, I guess, to like get herself out of the funk?
I think short-term,
based on like your knowledge and understanding of the situation,
short-term, like she mentioned, like, I think she wanted to go on holidays like other girls do.
Everything she mentioned just made me sad. Like, those are things that you should be doing in your 20s,
right?
Yeah,
I think if she can, you don't even have to go far. Like, book yourself a night in a hotel and go and sleep.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. When you get paid, buy yourself something first before anyone else. Like, treat yourself to something really nice you've always wanted. If you have a trusted friend, or she mentioned her sister no longer lives at home, go and visit your sister if she's a safe space.
Mm.
Or go and visit a friend. Maybe have a TV rota at home. Be like, grandma, you can watch your bloody
news. They'll respect you. TV rota, a cleaning rota,
honestly,
rota.
All the rotas, if you could do that. And I think also, like...
They might respect her more, though, if she does that, because then they'll be like, she's actually
speaking
up.
You know, sometimes
up.
They think we're pushovers.
Yeah.
So they just
get used
like,
to that.
This, look at this girl, like, she'll do it. Like, get up, like, be ready for, like...
If you show someone that they can take the piss out of you,
they will
continue to keep taking the
people
piss out of you.
People are takers. Yeah. Like, they're not going to be like, oh, don't worry, I'll drive her today.
Yeah.
No, they're like, oh, she drives anyone her. So they'll continue taking the mic if you let them. So don't be scared to stand up for yourself. That's what they want. They want you to be a chicken and not stand up for yourself, but show them that you're actually capable. You run a household.
Cause
like
some chaos.
You exactly. Move mad. Like we always say, move a little bit. You just need to show them you're capable.
Ruffle the feathers a bit.
You're capable of doing some dangerous stuff. Not violent.
Yeah.
But just be ready to cause chaos in the household. And also, choose your favorite family member. Like, maybe if it's your brother, and go on like a sibling date with them.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes we underestimate our siblings as our allies in the household.
Yeah.
Some of them aren't, but if you can like go out with them, talk to them about how you're feeling if they're in an age appropriate space, and just always remember that you're not in the wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's really important because a lot of us feel like we're always in the wrong for not wanting to do these things. And try to divide the labor.
Yeah, I was going to say that's really what you just mentioned about befriending a sibling is going to work in your favor, because ultimately you've got them on side now. They know how you feel, so you can start
they can just come go to each other.
Yeah, or like, fobbing them off with some tasks if you've got too much on your plate right now.
Exactly, like share. Let them be the first to like, oh, do you want to wash these dishes? I'll dry.
Yeah.
Don't just throw all the dishes at them, because then you'll have a fight on your hands. But just be smart about
sprinkle,
it.
Sprinkle, sprinkle.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Honestly, we loved
having you.
Is there anything that's coming up? When's your next event? Where can the girlies
sign up? We have events end of each month. So we have our online support group sessions, which is usually the last Friday of each month. So from 6 p.m. to 7:30. And then we have a eldest daughter date night coming, like where we just all go out to eat.
I love that.
So, and then we have different stuff coming up for International Women's Day and Well Book Day. So keep an eye on our socials for all of those.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I've had fun with fellow eldest daughters.
Oh, what's been like your proudest achievement with Homegirls? And just the whole like ethos of eldest daughter-ism?
I think I would actually say being able to secure good funding.
Oh, that's
because
nice.
It just helps us do more.
Yeah.
Like if we don't have money, we can't support the girls. So shout out to all our funders for helping us get the monies, and keep giving us money, please, so we can do more. So thank you.
I hope it like continues to prosper, because you guys are doing amazing.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Guys, our guest has left. So it's us again. We've also got an audience.
Oh my God, guys.
Today.
We've got to be honest today.
Yeah, like we've just, everyone's here today. The place is popping. We've got Rufia, our editor in the building.
Are they ever here? Woo!
We've got Galada, the producer.
Woo!
And you've also got me and Harla.
Yay. It's so crazy. I don't think they've ever had us say Rufia. Rufia is everything. The one name we scream all the time when we say some problematic shit.
Literally, so. Rufia saves this podcast from cancellation on like, a Rufia, weekly basis.
Take that out, Rufia. Take that out. Anyway, guys, there's so much to talk about.
I know, you have to, like, I'm in the eldest daughter mind. Like, I need to get out of that.
We need to be in happy mode right now, because I watched One Day. Did you finish One Day?
No, I can't.
Did you finish? Colton
I finished it last night. I was up until 1 a.m. watching it. It was so sad.
Guys.
Do you know what's really sad about this show, yeah?
Can we break it down?
So there's a film adaption. No, it starts off with a book. I haven't read the book.
I'm going to read the book this week.
I watched the film with Anne Hathaway and that charming English chap.
Didn't bang.
And, no, it did.
It didn't. Wait.
I thought that film was amazing when I first watched it.
Oh,
but
okay.
But I didn't like the ending, because it was abrupt and then it ended. There was no... We had no understanding as to what happened next. The reason why this series was so great is they dedicated a bonus episode to understanding the sadness, the emotional. Do you know what I mean? Like what
they
came back together.
The fact that they were planning their lives. Every time she said, "I don't want to be a footnote in your world," she was the whole storyline.
I feel like the show in itself. What's her name? The girl was like really witty and like she was quite cool. And I also like the soundtrack.
Yes,
there's good music on the show.
Really good. I think the main things that stood out to me was. And I compared, because I watched the movie this weekend as well, because I was like, I need to compare. The girl was very authentically English.
Yeah.
She had like a northern accent. She was very witty. She had that northern charm about
her. Even though Anne Hathaway's character was equally as witty. Because they were like all manic.
No, but I'm not bringing her character down. Oh. What I'm trying to say is, when you watch the movie, her accent is very forced now that I've watched it. And I feel like the series, the female in the series is a lot more like...
authentic,
bold.
From the north.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I resonated more towards... No, although I'm not putting down Anne Hathaway. It was a very good movie.
Yeah, I saw...
But we're talking about the series now, okay?
I thought Anne Hathaway did a good job. I'm not going to lie. I thought she was a great Emma Morley. But I do think this girl was better.
This is so much better.
She was like Emma Morley with sauce.
Yes. Oh my God,
with a bit
guys.
Of spice, a bit of millet.
I was literally crying. I think it's probably because I'm on my period, but who cares? I'm over it now.
I don't think it... The one thing that I didn't think was it wasn't as sad as how you described it. And I feel like your emotions were more heightened at the time that you watched it.
Do you really think so?
Yeah, because when I watched it last night and that horrible scene happened, A, I was prepared for it because I've watched the film already. B,
but it was what happened after
wait,
that was more sad.
So the final episode was a sad episode, but it wasn't as sad as like how you described. And I, the reason
oh,
for
I don't
that,
know what
yeah,
Carl Torn is experiencing.
Because Harlan was like to me, I cried for days.
I did.
What? Are you guys on? What's
it was
wrong
so
with
sad
you guys?
Because what happened in the movie, what they didn't do so well is when she died, it was just him in his cafe speaking to Ian. But the moment, like the sense of grief that was shown at the end of series,
I don't
was
think
a
it was that
more.
Deep. I think it was like, the only bit that was
agree
like,
to disagree.
The only bit that like really caught me was like when he was like crying about that bit made me cry. I'm not
and like
lie.
The bit where he was crying and then he hallucinated her.
No, the hallucination bit didn't
and
make
then
me
like
sad.
The, and then the fact that
it
he
was
sad. Like,
I felt sad for him, but it didn't make me cry like you described how you cried.
I thought it was really sad.
And I think the reason why is because obviously you had your
no,
week.
No, I'm not.
You had your week.
Okay, we're going to change this up. I'm going to watch it again. I'm
I think you need to watch
now.
It again.
I'm going
to
watch it again. I
watched
feel the same
it. I watched
way.
It during like a very unemotional time in my hormones.
I
they weren't know. Heightened.
I mean, I've spoken
no,
to you a lot of girls.
No, wet white. What's going on?
I've spoken to Colton. I think you might be dead inside. What's going on?
I don't know. Because usually I
you need to reevaluate
no,
yourself.
It wasn't that I didn't cry. Like, there were bits where I was like really tearful. My mum was looking at me like, what the hell's wrong with you? But it's, you described this like, like encompassing emotion where you
it
were
was.
Crying for, de-
it
for days.
It was.
I feel like crying for days over a show is mad to me.
No.
I leave
very
the crying.
Emotional. I just kept remembering. There was this one line that I kept remembering where she was like, what is your problem? Can I not have emotions? Colton, you're dead inside. There was this one line I was
you
remembering.
You know, there's something wrong with you too.
And the line was, she was like, when he started hallucinating her, and then it was something along the lines of like, how am I going to get over this? And she was like, with time. And then she disappeared. That fucking ended me.
Can I just say, basically, like, for Riffy, I need to get Riffy to
Riffy,
understand
have you seen
this.
The movie? Have you seen the show? Thank
so
you.
In
she
the show,
can't. She can't.
In the
she
show,
can't say nothing.
This girl, she's passed away. She's dead, buried, gone. Spoiler it's
I
been
know,
one.
She's,
she,
you've
seen the, film,
you've
though,
seen the film,
so
though.
It's fine. She's like in the final episode. The episode is dedicated to what's his name?
Dexter.
Dedicated to Dexter.
I don't even remember his name.
Dexter May. Can you shut up? Let me fucking explain. The episode is dedicated to Dexter Mayhew's grief and how he essentially tries to not overcome it. He definitely doesn't overcome it. He's going through it. But there was an episode about his POV. And in the episode, the ghost of the girl keeps appearing and talking to him. And and then she disappears. So that's what Harlan's talking about when she means,
but that
set me off.
But why am I getting triggered by this?
Because it's just so weird that you're
but
triggered
if I'm,
it.
If
it's weird that you're emotional over this too. I don't know why.
Colton, I think you're experiencing your own emotions.
I don't know. I don't think
but I
that
personally
bad.
Found it very emotional. Mm. And I know a lot of people that I have. There's a support group. Gala, no they're way. Saying there's a support Gala, group.
I can
that
see
Netflix...
what tears in your eyes right now. Let's see your eyes.
So they can't hear what Gala said. So Gala just said that there's a support group that Netflix created for this show. Is that what you said?
Damn,
so it's not just me, babes.
I need the listeners who didn't find it that deep to message me because bloody hell, I was waiting for her to did a whole TikTok on it. I was on episode 5 at
it.
This point. I finished the show and I was like, what now?
Okay. I mean, agree to disagree. What can we do? Moving on. What was I going to say? Moving on. What else happened? Oh my God, Beyonce. That woman's marketing. Can we just say now? I'm going to be a cowboy now. I mean, what else? What's next? House music? Country? What else is she going to do? Classical?
I've got a really... I've got a funny opinion about Beyoncé's stint in country music.
Why? What is it?
And I don't want the beehive to come for me.
No, I mean...
So basically, it's just... obviously, there was a thing that I saw online that said Jay-Z's Grammy might have been like a boost just to create some hype around Beyoncé so that she can release this. That's not what I wanted to say. I wanted to say... Obviously, Taylor winning Album of the Year. Come on. I feel like there's a correlation between this. Taylor's on Flipping Time magazine. There's a lot happening with Taylor. My whole Twitter timeline is Taylor. The algorithm's pushing Taylor. They're creating AI of Taylor. There's a lot of Taylor going on, right?
Okay.
So, you know, and then there was this whole thing with the Grammys and Beyonce not winning Album of the Year, etc. And now Beyonce's doing... country music. I feel like there's a correlation.
But
I don't know.
Let's respectfully
another thing that I saw, it just seems to me that it just seems to me, like, based on what I saw at the Grammys, that a lot of people are just shook of Taylor because she's cleaning up at the moment. A lot of artists. Beyonce comes along, has to do the most. Like, again, another black woman having to do more than the average to prove herself in this industry. And I feel sorry for her. Why should she have to delve into bloody country music?
Because she's from Texas and her roots. But let me just ask you something.
But come on, has she done this before?
She has. But let me explain to you.
Okay, Rufia, take that out.
No, let me explain something to you. So Act 2 was always Act 2 from Renaissance. So she already had this plan. And you're not going to make a Beyonce ad with Horizon that cost her... Verizon. Yeah. Like, they paid her $40 million to play in the Super Bowl on the whim of her not winning an album
for
last
Beyonce.
Week's
I'm
Grammys. It doesn't make sense. I don't think I feel sorry for Beyonce because she's a rich woman, number one. So it doesn't matter. Yeah. But the thing, I get where you're coming from.
I just feel like she has to do a lot.
She's a black woman.
She's got to
sing,
dance. Like, she's just got to do a lot.
She does a lot more
she's
than Taylor,
to, like,
I get
into
that.
She's got loads of different genres. Like, it's a bit mad.
Sometimes but I'm just enjoys
they
it.
They should have just given her album of the year. I don't think she would have done. She would have gone to most of the trouble that she's been to in during her flipping entire career span.
Do you think so?
She's been through a lot.
I think she enjoys it. I think that's the difference. But the other thing I wanted to say to you, and this is a really good analogy about your Taylor and Beyonce thing. People have basically said that the way they see Taylor Swift is like a bestie. Right. So Taylor is like that bestie. She's loyal. You relate to her music. You guys go through similar things. Boy drama, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But the way you see Beyonce is like a big sister.
Yeah.
You idolize her.
No.
I'm not saying we don't
idolize Beyonce.
I mean, I miss them. But do you know what I mean? People idolize Beyonce. Like, you look up to her is a better way of saying it. People, I'm not saying you. But I'm saying
generally
people.
No, I don't have
people.
A problem with it. Stop trying to make up. I've got
no
problem
keep
with
reacting.
Beyonce.
But I'm saying people in general that support Beyonce see her as a more role model compared to Taylor. I wouldn't see Taylor as a role model.
I see Taylor as someone that's fucking talented.
Yeah.
But I feel like she needs to, she's been through a lot.
What has she been through? I'm confused. I just
feel like she's done a lot.
But that's her job.
No, come on. Like, she does a lot, but okay.
I think she does a lot because that's the level of creative she's on.
No, but my thing is in comparison...
It's because everyone else is below par, that's why.
To Taylor Swift.
But Taylor's a white woman. She can get away with... Taylor's very talented.
I think Taylor's amazing.
The way she rides and what she does,
when I saw Ed Sheeran, Miley Cyrus, all giving it the... When she announced that she's going to release a new album...
Because they're shook.
I know they're shook of her.
Because she's amazing, that's what I'm saying to you. But I don't think people should compare Taylor and Beyonce. They're two different genres.
Categories.
They're two different things.
Anyway well, she Beyonce's now going to be in the, hopefully, Grammys country music category next year, so...
No, I think that they're inherently racist towards her, so I don't think so. But we'll see.
So Rufia basically said that Beyonce has been doing this for a long time. She's a seasoned artist. She's been doing high-level creation for a very long time. Artistic genius, if some would like to call it. Taylor Swift is now entering that sort of pinnacle. It could be that Beyonce is like, wait, is this girl going to dethrone me soon?
No. Shall I tell you what it is? The only reason you guys are seeing Taylor Swift is because she's become so overexposed with what's happening with Travis Kelce that before she only had Swifties that had her back. And let's be real, Swifties, there's a lot of them. Okay, they really did. They were loyal, right? But now she's become so overexposed that people like you, me, and everyone else who listen to Taylor or who aren't, let's say, supposedly her biggest fans, have experienced who Taylor is through this NFL Travis Kelce bullshit. So this level of exposure is like comparison to Beyonce. I think that's the way I see it now. But I'm not saying that Taylor isn't as big as Beyonce. I think she definitely is. But I think Beyonce just... She's just got that je ne sais quoi that I don't think Taylor has, that obviously the Grammys aren't rewarding.
Which is so sad.
It is.
Poor lady has to do multiple genres. She has to sing, she has to dance. She was in a bloody girl group, for goodness sake. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of work behind her, and I just don't think that she gets...
You mean she gets the credit for it?
She gets credit, she gets her flowers, but I don't think she gets... the flowers.
Even look at the marketing strategy with how she brought out her new album, the Act Two, and how Taylor did. Taylor, a lot of people are upset, and I wouldn't say it's musicians because they haven't said what they said, but a lot of people on TikTok are upset that she's basically said that she's going to do this new album on a stage where her peers are present.
Does Taylor collaborate with people?
Yeah,
she does, doesn't she?
But she's done this. She's basically said, I'm doing this new album in front of her peers, and that's why people are triggered more by Taylor. Whereas Beyonce always takes it to the next level in terms of marketing. She was the first person to ever bring out a self-titled album and just dropped it randomly without doing any marketing, anything. She just said, this is the album, go listen, and everyone ran to it. And now she's one of the, she's one of the only people that's dropped an album mid Super Bowl. Are we even talking about Usher's Super Bowl performance? No, we're not. We're only talking about Beyonce dropping an album and the way that she did it.
Yeah.
Because that's how genius this woman is.
She's amazing.
So Galava said she's the reason why music gets released on a Friday.
No, I think she's absolutely, I think she's probably one of the most influential women in the world. But the thing is, I'm not trying to pit Taylor against Beyonce. That's not what I'm trying to do. I just don't think Beyonce gets the award show.
She doesn't get her flowers.
Credits. Yeah, I don't know why. Like, a lot of people on the internet are basically saying like award shows. I don't even know why people watch those because they don't.
But that's a lot of black artists though. It's
that's
not just
sad
Beyonce.
Though, isn't it? Yeah. That's actually sad.
And they create most of the thingy. I'm just saying, Shaydan is gonna have a field day with us because come Ramadan, we've got a Beyonce album, we've got a Taylor Swift album, Ariana Grande. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be real hard. Bridgerton's coming out mid-Ramadan.
Oh my God, why?
What are we going to do? What are we going to... Guys, we can't do any of this. We can't indulge. It's going to be crazy.
No, we're literally going to do a band. We're doing a detox, no albums, no...
And on top of that, yeah... While all of that, sorry to interrupt you, while all of that is happening, Israel is bombing Rafah the whole of last night.
I know, I saw that.
It's an oxymoron, isn't it?
Rafah being the safe space that they were told to go to is now being bombed by occupying forces.
And no one said
everyone said that a lot of people were contesting the fact that this was a genocide, this was an ethnic cleansing, and now we know it really is.
Yeah, it's just sad.
Let's bring the mood back up. Guys, we're going to read out some confessions from last week that we didn't get to, and hopefully we're going to make up for that really rubbish Monday madness from last week as well.
Guys, we're going to be doing craziest things that happened over the weekend, so Kalton, take it away.
Right, we've got talking stage getting a bit too serious. I'm just a baby girl. I realise I might need to stop.
Oh my God. Does he want to get married?
Is she trying to sabotage?
Ooh.
What to expect if I marry a Somali man? I'm Moroccan, please.
We can't even do it.
Trying to get me bagged. Literally. I'm not doing that.
They're good men.
We love Moroccans.
And we love Somali men.
Okay.
Rafia.
Okay, let's answer the question properly. What to expect if I marry a Somali man? I'm Moroccan, please help. So a Moroccan woman wants to marry a Somali man.
What do you expect? They're very funny.
Yeah, they've got good banter, Somali men.
You'll be laughing all the time.
Yeah. Other than that, I'm leaving. I'm joking. They're cool people.
They're very generous. They've got big families.
Yeah, big families. Just kidding.
Big
bundas. Wide hips and big bums. No, I'm joking.
They expect you to cook and clean when they do. Fuck all.
Don't marry a Somali man. Okay. I know this is off topic, but are you guys sisters? We're cousins. I had to organise an event, and on the exact day, 4 hours earlier, my bank account was inaccessible.
What?
What's happened?
Did someone steal your money?
I hope not. She said her bank account was inaccessible. She didn't have money for the event. That's really sad. I sneak out for 1 hour and 30 to speak to a guy and told mum I'm going to Tesco Express.
Enjoy yourself. Yeah. Oh, the good old times.
Not really crazy, but watched Hijack and loved it. It was crazy in that sense.
Hijack is actually a really good show.
It is a really good show. Should we tell them the funny story of when we met Idris Elba?
I think we told them already. Do you want to tell it again?
Yeah, I think we should. So basically... Me and Holder went to an event and Idris Elba and his wife Sabrina were there. They just looked so glamorous, alhambric, amazing, amazing people. So obviously me and Holder were trying to talk to Idris, obviously, that. And we've just we've seen this man on the TV for how many years? We've never seen him in real life. I said, I'm not taking any chances.
We've got
here.
To say hi.
We've got to come with some conversation. It can't just be basic.
We can't just say random shit.
And we'd finished watching Hijack the week prior. So we thought, you know what? That's our hook.
We're going to go in right in there.
We went in. We look up. We see Idris Elba. He's huge, can I just say? No. He's just so big, right? And we're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm looking into the eyes of Idris Elba. And we were just straight away, we were like, we watched Hijack, you were so sick.
No,
like,
you started stuttering.
Oh no, I didn't start stuttering. Don't even lie, Arla. I was sweating, but I wasn't.
You were like, and then you spoke.
No. I went like this. I said, I really enjoyed watching you in Hijack. And he didn't know what to say because obviously it wasn't a question.
So then he was just like, yeah, he was really cool. Yeah, he was really so mellow cool. about it.
And I wish we'd gone in with a question.
Wish we'd have said something random.
And then Harder obviously follows on. He's like, yeah, like the show was so good. Like, what's going to happen next? Is there going to be another episode? Because there was only 6 episodes. And then he was obviously couldn't tell us. So that was another shit question. It was just, I felt like I couldn't breathe.
Yeah, I agree. I just started speaking to his security guard afterwards.
And then we took a picture with him. And I swear to God, when I look back at that picture, it looks like me and Harder have gone out for milkshakes with our dad. I swear to God. Like, honestly, it's just me and Harder standing beside him. And he's just like, and I'm like, oh, I've got daddy issues. It's creeping daddy issues.
What can we say? What can we
daddy
say?
Daddy Idris.
My God. Okay, carry on.
You didn't share the recipe to whatever this delicious meal is.
They're referencing the image that I put. And I think it was the food that we had last weekend. We mention this place all the time. This is just getting embarrassing now.
Yeah, they need to pay us now.
So, yeah, you're not going to know. Carry on.
We are the gatekeeper.
I'm gatekeeping now. Because actually, I'm actually going to gatekeep. Because last weekend, we couldn't get a table.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. We were queuing up for ages. I don't know if I want to talk about this. So, I don't know. Do you want to talk about it?
No, it was really nice. Carry on.
Took a bus to the restaurant to pick up food rather than get it delivered. Then took the bus back home.
I don't think that was good use of time, but I reward you for the effort that you paid. You know what I mean? Like, I would have just paid for the delivery myself, but you know.
Yeah, me too.
I would never take a bus. The fact that I would be told to take a bus to go get takeaway would put me off and I would just cook.
But the reason why you're ordering food in the first place
is the convenience.
It's for the convenience and you're too lazy to cook.
So you've taken the convenience away now.
Yeah, you've got to sit in the laziness, allow it to consume you so that you pay for delivery as well.
Oh, maybe we're just lazy.
Maybe. Maybe she's got an Apple Watch and she was trying to close her rings.
Valid.
Not a question, but this looks like Sabib. I'm telling you, like, the powers, like, they want us to talk about Sabib.
It's too much. Carry on.
Turns out me and an acquaintance visit almost every week and the same 3 places and never see each other. So they visit each other almost every week in the same 3 places but never see each other. That's the opposite of serendipity.
Is that the orange...
What's that called?
Something string theory.
Sliding doors.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
No, it's not. It's not good. She wants to see the person, I think. But
she might. It reminds me a little bit of like the string theory.
What's the string theory?
So like you and this person are like always in similar spaces. You're just connected in
they
some
might get
way
married
in
like 10 years' time.
Yeah, string theory.
Found out the guy
Do you guys... Wait, pause. Do you guys know about the orange peel theory?
No, what's the orange peel?
So like, you guys could test this out with your...
Significant others.
So basically, I don't know if you hand your partner an orange and then you basically, if he comes back and he peels it, that's the orange peel there. Like, he's compassionately thought about you. It's the convenience of him, like, peeling the orange and giving it to you.
Is it kind of
what
like...
What if he
eats
it himself?
Imagine he doesn't share the orange.
What if he's like, thanks for giving me this orange, babe. You're so passionate.
That's true. Or like, I don't know if you have to say to him, oh, can you do this for me? And he does it. I don't know.
Is it the same as like when he's got like the last piece of meat or something on the plate
and he gives it to you?
And he gives it to you.
Yeah, similar.
Oh,
that's actually really cute though.
That is quite cute. Yeah. Imagine someone giving you their last.
I wonder how you do it then. Oh, I think you give them an orange and you're like, can you do this for me? And you see what they do. Oh, but if he eats it,
if you've asked them, you've yeah. taken that initiative.
Yeah, so I don't know.
So they'll know.
You've got to research that it, guys. But it exists. It exists. I'm telling you. Oh, I'm telling you.
This could just be a TikTok fan.
It is. It actually is.
Found out the guy that ghosted me went to jail.
That's
probably a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. And I think you
don't
should
be sad about being ghosted.
I think you should, yeah, I think you should be happy with that one. At least you know he didn't ghost you for real.
Yeah, I know. That's
it's not a rejection.
That's nice for the ego.
The law took part in that.
Good for the ego. Saw my first birth in a video.
Ooh.
Would you guys record giving birth yeah. and then rewatch
it? I would watch that. I just want to see what's going on. But I wouldn't show anyone. I want to see what's happening with my body.
So like one random evening at 1 a.m, you put on a video of yourself giving birth.
I wouldn't watch it all
the time.
Get
some popcorn and sit down.
I don't think it's something you watch with popcorn, but I just want to experience. I want to see what it looks like.
Really?
I would.
I want to see. I'd be like, what's that angle look like?
Yeah, like, do I look good? Do I look good giving birth? Like, what is it? How does... And actually, also, the other aspect I want to see is I want to see the physicality of a child coming out. Mm. How does that look? I don't know.
No, I'd rather watch someone else giving birth.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I'd rather watch some people on the internet giving birth.
Let me give you a fun fact, though. The first time I gave birth, I felt my child. Now, you guys can imagine how you think about it. I'm not going to visualize it for you guys. But I felt my child's head, and it felt like a squidgy ball, and it made me nauseous while
did
I was
did
giving birth.
Did you give
birth.
It a quick...
Did you do a quality
Courtney Kardashian dragged her baby out.
No, I couldn't do that. No, I couldn't. I was too traumatized.
So
to
you just went like this.
What the fuck? Now I told you, you can visualize what you want and think about it. However, I did it,
and the head was squidgy.
The head was very squidgy, and it made me feel very fucking sick.
No way.
Because I've never felt something like that before. It felt like.
Did you feel hair?
It feels like, you know, go like this with your skin.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that, you know. I was like, oh. And then that's like the first realization that I had that something was coming out of me. That's when it really dawned on me. I was like, what the fuck? But yeah, I mean, can we wrap this up? Any good ones?
Just got blocked because I caught my now ex cheating.
Wait, he blocked you?
Yeah, that's a bit weird, isn't it? He must feel guilty. He could be so guilty that he can't even see her face. Can't even just see her doing well. That's the one that got away, got to block her.
But she caught him cheating. The cheek of it.
Same thing.
Maybe he doesn't like confrontation.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's an absolute sausage. Just a pussy owl.
Valid.
He just can't take the heat.
Right.
I was in an Islam study session while I was screen sharing the text for the girls.
Oh God, I'm scared now.
Then suddenly got the urge to break off with my situationship I just started to get to know. So I started to write to him and everyone saw it. I forgot I was screen sharing. That's like me on FaceTime to you guys. I'm screen sharing and I just start writing to my babes.
That's so awkward. If that was me, I thought you go, girl. Well done. At least you broke it up. That's so awkward though. That's your Malamad. What am I talking about?
Hers was an Islam study.
Ew, that's even worse.
No, that's crazy.
Why didn't someone say something?
They probably didn't understand what was going on.
Hey, babe, like, I just can't do this anymore.
Yeah, I'm Estee Nova Dunya. Ramadan's coming up.
Like, I've just got to cut this off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, God.
My sister found out her mother-in-law is low-key a hater, but smiles to her face.
I can't relate. Honestly, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's it, really. That's all we've got today, guys. Thank you so much for sending those in. As ever, you lot are flipping amazing.
Thank you guys so much for listening to us. We really appreciate it. Make sure that you like, comment and subscribe on the YouTube, and you leave us lovely little reviews on Apple and Spotify podcasts because I love reading them. And we just want to say thank you guys so much for everything. Love you.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Patreon.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.